Music lovers, have I got news for you. Get a big fat crayon and mark this day on your calendar. Saturday, October 18th. Why, you ask? Well, that's the date for the 7th annual WHFR Record Show here at Henry Ford College. It's the record show that attracts all types of vendors. The out-of-state vendor, vendors that have their own record shops, and even those record collectors that just need to make more space in the house. This year could be the year you sign up and become a vendor. Tables are now available, but they're going fast. If you would like to join us and sell your music or memorabilia, you can call us at 313-845-9676, or you can visit us on the web at whfr.fm/recordshow. The WHFR Record Show is one of the most anticipated shows in the metro area, so don't wait too long. Contact us right now at 313-845-9676 or on the web at whfr.fm/recordshow. The 7th annual WHFR Record Show, Saturday, October 18th, on the campus of Henry Ford College.
Henry Ford College in Dearborn, Michigan is a comprehensive public college serving about 18,000 students each year in Southeast Michigan. HFC is dedicated to preparing students for the rapidly changing workplace in today's world by offering more than 100 associate degree and university transfer programs. HFC also specializes in customized workforce development training for business and industry. Since its founding in 1938, HFC has been the gateway to higher education for thousands of students who seek an affordable, high-quality post-secondary education. To learn more about what HFC has to offer, please visit us at www.hfcc.edu, or you can call the campus office at 1-800-585-HFCC. Your future begins now, and it begins right here at Henry Ford College.
Hey kids, Brian Oblivion here, authentic rock and roll loser, and you're listening to the station making waves, WHFR.FM.
Welcome to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. This is a pre-recorded show. The opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR nor Henry Ford College. Hi, I'm Lynn, your host of Impact, and today's special guest is Bill Keith, Trinity House Board President and Concert Coordinator. Did I get that right?
Yes, okay. You got it right.
All right.
Bonus points for you.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. I know a lot of people in the area are familiar with Trinity House, and you've had some incredible guests there over the years. Let's talk a little bit about the history of Trinity House. How old is Trinity House?
The building goes back into the 1800s, but the actual theater's been there for a little over 30 years, mm-hmm. Early 1980s. It was started by Trinity Church in Livonia. And back then it was Trinity Baptist Church, and they had an idea for a playhouse and a place where they could do live theater and also encourage playwrights to write plays that would be performed. And so that's how it got started back then. And they did a little bit of everything as far as the arts were concerned. They mixed in music, and they did film showings and poetry and whatever else they could mix in. And the base was always theater. Mm-hmm. But for the last 15 years, the main thing that we've done is live music, and everything else kind of mixes in from there, whether we might do an occasional play or there might be a poetry reading or a film showing or a variety show. But the main focus of the theater at the moment is live music.
Mm-hmm. With the playwrights that you were gathering, as you stated, were you looking for people in the community?
It turned out that way, that they ended up having the founder of the theater, Paul Patton, was writing plays, And then some of the other people that got involved in the theater started writing plays. And the theater became a perfect venue for debuting those plays. So right. If you look at the list of plays that they've done over the years, there's a number of locally written productions, and there's a number of world premieres. So it really developed a name in the Southeast Michigan area for live theater those first 15, 16, 17 years that they were operating.
Wow. Any names we'd recognize today?
Oh, they've done Shakespeare productions and mm-hmm. things like that, and David Mamet and other major playwrights. But the local playwrights, I don't know that most people would know them.
Okay.
But they wrote excellent plays, very thought provoking, and mm-hmm. and all fitting within the theater's general mission,
which was entertainment for the community.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's great. So you're located where?
We are on 6 Mile Road, just west of I-275.
Okay.
So pretty much right at the corner of 6 Mile and 275, there's a children's daycare center there, and then there's us, and then there's a restaurant. We share a parking lot with a restaurant next door, and okay. so it's a pretty busy little corner. The one saving grace for the theater has been the fact that there's a cemetery surrounding it, because if the cemetery hadn't still been there, I'm sure that they would have leveled that theater and it would have been parking lot for restaurant and, right. and other options that might have gone in.
And as we know from Amityville, that's not a good thing to do.
Very true. We did have a group one time that came in that they were convinced that there were probably ghosts in the building, so they wanted to come there like late at night and do a I don't know what they call
cleaning.
It, where they were looking for ghosts, and mm-hmm. I thought, oh, this is the weirdest thing. but I'm sure if there's any place that has them, that place probably would.
Maybe some frustrated actors, who knows?
You never know.
So you mentioned that now, currently you're primarily working on musical productions, and tell us a little bit about the upcoming schedule.
We have quite a few shows. Well, we actually have, as of the time this airs, we'll have two more shows in August. July and August is a slower time for us, and we do much less shows. So we have a show coming up August 8th and August 9th. Michaela Davis is a singer-songwriter, harp player from New York. And people get mixed up when I say that, because they think, harp, oh, she plays the harmonica. Oh. No, she plays the harp.
The real harp.
The real harp. The big thing that she has to lug around. And she has a three-piece band that tours with her, and it's kind of like indie rock with a harp. So it should be a really interesting show. That's on August 8th. And then August 9th is a singer-songwriter named Brian Reborn. And he has started a new duo called Barely On, and it's him and a female singer. And so it's going to be a night of Barely On's music and also Brian Reborn's music. And that'll be a great night on August 9th. And then we come back in September with our full fall schedule, kicking off on September 6th with an evening of two very talented singer-songwriters and performers, Greg Trooper and George Worthmore. So, and that kind of sets the plate and gets things started for the fall. And then we have shows just about every weekend, and some multiple shows on the weekend. So it gets very busy in the fall.
As I was looking at the schedule, which goes through pretty much Thanksgiving, and that's available on your website, which is located
TrinityHouseTheater.org.
Okay. And when I looked at the schedule, I noticed that there were a couple times there was something called an open chair or an empty chair. Yeah. There's an empty chair. Tell us about the empty chair.
That's been something we've been doing the last couple of years, and it's a really neat concept. Joel Palmer, who's one of the hosts, came up with the idea, and he was thinking, what would happen if a songwriter in the round night met an open mic? And so he brought those two ideas together, and Joel hosts it along with Annie and Rod Capps. And then each month they invite a guest artist to be in the round with them. And so they'll perform in the round. And basically that means they go, Joel does a song, Annie and Rod does a song, the guest performer does a song. And then each time they play through the round, they draw the name of somebody in the audience who gets to get up and share a song.
Okay.
Or we've had people share poems. So there's a little bit of room for different possibilities mm-hmm. there, too. And it's a great night. It's usually a fairly small crowd, so there's plenty of seats if anybody wants to come out. but it's a lot of fun because you get to see performers who are fairly seasoned, that have been performing for a while, in Joel and Annie and Rod and whoever their guest usually is. But then you also get performers sometimes that are getting up there for the first time. And then sometimes there's regular, they perform out all the time, that join in and are just in the crowd, and they jump up and do a song. So it's a wide mix of performers. You get a chance to see some really seasoned performers, and then some performers who are maybe up there for the first time, mm-hmm. sharing a song, which is always exciting to see.
Wow. Is there any theme, I guess I'd say, to
they
the
do.
Music?
They, or it varies. Sometimes there's no theme, and then some months they'll have a theme to the song. So they'll encourage people to think of songs of heartbreak, or the music of Johnny Cash, or and they've done a wide variety of different themes. Maybe they'll do a blues theme, or maybe they'll do a Great American Songbook theme. And you don't have to perform within the theme. It's just thrown out there. So if somebody came and was in the audience and was getting up and thought, oh, I don't know any Johnny Cash songs, I want to do one of my own songs, that would be fine too. Mm-hmm. Because you get the wide mix. And the Empty Chair Night happens usually the first Sunday of the month. And our Sunday night performances are at 7 rather than the typical 8 o'clock show that most shows are, because we want to give people a chance to get home at a decent hour. And it's a fun night, and we would love to have people come out and check it out. The first one's going to be coming up on September 7th, and joining Annie and Rod and Joel will be Joe Serapair and John Devine. And they'll be performing as a duo. And Joe, I mean, anybody who's seen Joe Serapair play knows she's an amazing singer and songwriter. John Devine, who plays guitar with her, is an amazing guitarist. He's part of her group, the Willie Dunns. And they'll be amazing. Joe's always great.
Wow. So it's mostly guitar?
Mostly, but we do get people that will come in and that are part of it that'll bring a keyboard with them. And we do have a piano on the stage. Okay. So if we know somebody plays piano, we can wheel that piano out of the corner and have it ready to go, and let them play a song off the piano if they wanted to.
Wow. So it's pretty much like any open mic where you're not sure what's going to happen when you walk in the door.
Right. And you don't know necessarily the order of who's going to be up there. Usually, I have to say, Joel does a really good job making sure that anybody who shows up that wants to get on stage gets a chance. We haven't had the problem yet where there's just so many people wanting to perform that some people don't end up on stage. Right now they're in a position where anybody who wants to perform, they find a way to get them on stage.
Okay. You have a variety of musical genres. You mentioned blues, which is one that makes me think that, you know, there's always a little innuendo with blues and that sort of thing. Are the shows considered family friendly? Are they considered G or more PG? Or
It varies. I would say the vast majority of the shows are very family friendly, but it varies from the performer, because we don't set any restrictions for the performer. We leave it up to them to kind of assess what the crowd is, mm-hmm. and what they can legitimately perform. The vast majority of performers perform things that are family friendly, but even with singer-songwriters, you have to worry about politics, and you never find a folk singer who doesn't have a political opinion to share, and that can usually that can tick people off more than the innuendos and stuff like right. that. So you have to be very careful. But there's a wide mix, and I always encourage people, check out the website to read the descriptions over. Maybe we have some faithful attenders that will look and see what these performers are like on the internet, maybe do a YouTube search and see all the different videos that they have up there and get an assessment. And people can always email us too and say, hey, I'm thinking about coming out to this show. Do you think it would be fine for my younger kids? And we'll try to give them an assessment too. But as with singers and songwriters, you never know what they're going to do.
You don't.
And you never know what's going to offend people either, because sometimes the...
Very true.
Sometimes the silliest thing can offend somebody, and sometimes the most bawdy thing doesn't offend anybody there, so it's like I've given up trying to police it.
You can't predict.
Right.
Okay, so we have a variety of music, and again, that website to check out to make sure you really do want to see that particular performer.
Sure, it's trinityhousetheater.org.
Okay, and again, Trinity House is on 6 Mile near 275, and it's in Livonia. Okay. Who do you think was or is, in any of the upcoming shows that you have planned, who would you say is probably your biggest name? Or talk about some of the extreme circumstances,
sure.
Put it that way.
Well, we have some really great shows coming up. I mean, I mentioned that we're kicking off the season with Greg Trooper and George Worthmore, and normally we would have them on separate nights, but they both happened to be in the area at the same time looking for a date, and I said, well, what if we pair you guys together? So both very talented songwriters and singers. George Worthmore is an amazing guitar player. He does a lot of these kind of bawdy blues songs mixed in with what he does. And Greg Trooper is just a consummate singer and songwriter, one of the premier Americana singer-songwriters. So that one will be a lot of fun. One that I'm particularly looking forward to is a show that we're doing on a Sunday night, September 21st, with the California Guitar Trio, who you heard a little bit of their music in the introduction to the show. And that one's just an amazing opportunity for us. We've had a partnership for the last several years with the Michigan Fingerstyle Guitar Society, and they were doing all kinds of great shows, and I was always hoping that they would have a show with the California Guitar Trio, but it never worked out, and it always seemed like we were too small. Well, this past spring, Michigan Fingerstyle Guitar Society decided to take a break, and they're going to be taking a break from doing live shows, and they're just going to man their website to promote fingerstyle shows in the area. But they sent me an email over the summer and said, you know, got an email from the California Guitar Trio. They're looking for a date September 21st. You have it open. Do you want to host them? And I said, by all means.
Right.
Because they're world-class performers. I mean, all the performers that we have are very, 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 very good. And tour, if not regionally, some of them tour nationally, internationally. And the California Guitar Trio is a real coup. So that'll be a fun one on Sunday, September 21st. Great instrumental players that play a lot of different styles. And I'm looking further on in October. One of the ones that I'm particularly interested in is a show we're doing October 11th, a singer-songwriter from the UK named David Clifton. This will be the first time that we've had him. I wasn't familiar with his music. He came to me, it was introduced to me by a friend of the theaters, and he said, you know, David's here in the United States for a little bit, and he's down in, I think down south somewhere, and we'd like to bring him up to the theater to show him the theater, and would you like to have him? And I said, well, you know, I'm not really familiar with him, but your word's good. I'm sure he's really good. Let me hear some of his music. And was really, really impressed by him, a very talented composer, songwriter, and singer, and has worked with a number of different artists in the UK. And I said, well, sure, we'll do it. He doesn't really have an audience here in the United States, but we'll give it a try and try to build some audience for him. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we've got Lindsay Lou and the Flat Bellies on Sunday, October 12th. They're a group of Americana bluegrass country group from the Ann Arbor area. And they're touring nationally now and have been making great music. They're a lot of fun. And then we end the month of October on October 25th with Trace Bundy, who's an amazing fingerstyle guitarist also. We had him perform a while back, and he packed the place. And I said, well, you know, if the Michigan Fingerstyle Guitar Society is not going to do some shows at the current time, we'll look to have Trace come back, and probably, hopefully, we'll have another packed house with mm-hmm. him. He's a fun performer to watch. And then there's every other show that's in that September and October timeframe is going to be a really good one. So mm-hmm. lots of good stuff.
Okay. While you had either one of the performers you were looking forward to as a guitarist or some sort of performer that way, or someone in a production, someone doing some poetry, any great stories to share? Somebody fell off the stage? Or
oh, boy, that's a good... That's a good question. Wow. no one falling off the stage, which is good. Our insurance company probably appreciates that, right? That we don't have any claims against us. You know, the thing that's been cool for me is I'm a fan of singer-songwriters, and I'm a big music fan, and my tastes go all over the place. But in booking the shows here at the theater, one of the exciting things is I've been able to book artists that I was a fan of even before I started doing this, and the opportunity came up to have them come and share songs at the theater. And artists that I was a fan of have now become friends, and they come back on a regular basis. And that's just been a lot of fun to see.
Yeah.
That chance to get to know these artists. One of the funny ones that comes to mind is that we used to have a prop room in the back, and we remodeled and expanded our green room and got rid of the dressing room that was back there. We, for a number of years, first years that we were doing it, we would have performers who would come out on stage for their encore with this sheep's mask on, or with weird wigs on or hats on. We had this band named Delta 88 that played, and two of the three guys came out on stage, and they were waiting for John to come out. Next thing you know, John walks out to play stand-up bass in a dress.
Okay.
And so being part of a theater gave us a lot of opportunities for some unusual expression as we first got started.
That's a lot of fun. We're going to take a little break and hear a little bit of music that one might hear at Trinity House, and we'll be back right after this.
In a no-horse town, everybody knows. Everybody's everything. I suppose they feel they must share what you might have missed. Who just stole a kiss from you? I didn't need to hear their gossip. They really didn't have to say that could have been you. Yeah, you. That could have been you kissing her today. Now my old neighbor, we'll be right back. could have been you keeping her company.
You just heard some phenomenal music, and this is somebody that will be at Trinity House on September 6th, I believe, right?
Yes.
Greg Trooper. Wow. Tell me a little bit more about him.
Yeah, the song was called Could Have Been You. It's from his album Upside Down Town. Greg is an Americana singer and songwriter who's been performing for many, many years. He was on a very prominent independent label called Sugar Hill Records for several years, which is a prominent Americana bluegrass label, and now he's releasing music on his own and just has a lot of respect from songwriters like Steve Earle. Just a great singer and songwriter. He'll be paired up that night with a guy named George Worthmore, and they'll be playing on September 6th. They'll each do a separate set, but it's a great way to see two very talented singers, songwriters, and performers, and we'd love to have people come out.
Wow. Okay, now that is September 6th, which is right after Labor Day. So is that the beginning of the 2013-14? No, I didn't do that right. I lost a year. The 2014-15 season.
Yeah, well, sort of. I mean, anytime you get after Labor Day, people kind of look at it as the new season. So I guess in that respect it is. But membership at the theater, we don't have anything like a season subscription or anything like that. We do have a membership subscription, and those are year-long commitments from the point that you sign up. So there's like an individual membership, there's a family membership, and then there's even a lifetime membership possibility too. So there's some opportunities to support the theater that way, because of the fact that we're such a small venue, only 87 seats. It's hard to make enough money to sustain the theater, pay the performers only on ticket sales. So things like subscription memberships are really important to allowing the theater, and donations are important to allowing the theater to maintain its mission and keep programming here in the Southeast Michigan area.
Okay. Well, Trinity House Theater is a 501c.
Yep.
So you are looking for donations to help with the everyday expenses and
sure.
what have you. What type of donations are you looking for besides cash? Do you ever look for any sort of in-kind donations? Or
We have had some over the years. I can't think of anything in particular right now that we need, though I know we've been saving up money recently because we have some major roof work that we're going to need to get done soon. Part of our roof is flat, and so those are always a heck of a thing to maintain.
Always.
And so we're looking at some different options of whether to pitch the roof or whether right now it's not leaking because wow. somebody got up there during the winter and laid down some tar, and we had some pretty bad leaks over the winter and in our back hallway. But now that we have good weather, we need to bite the bullet and get a roofing company out and do that. So donations make that possible. As with any nonprofit, it's those
sure.
survival things of paying the heating bills and all those kind of things that allow the place to stay open that donations really go a long way to making happen.
Okay. It is a small theater, and as you said, it goes back a number of years. The building goes back a number of years. And with regards to wheelchairs and handicap access, is everything fully accessible?
Good question. Right now, it's not, though we're talking with an architect about how we might be able to make that accessible. And that, I have a feeling, is going to be a good couple year commitment of us trying to figure out how to do it and then to make the money possible, because we would have to do some remodeling on the inside for bathrooms and things like that. The building is of such an age that we haven't had the pressure to make it handicap accessible because of the age of the building. But it's surprising. We've had a number of people in wheelchairs who they want to come to see a show, and they get themselves in there somehow, whether it's they've got friends that carry them in or, I mean, it's amazing to see. But I do want to put out there that right now it's a front step, a front walkway up steps in order to get into the building. And it would be a challenge to navigate that in a wheelchair. So unfortunately, and hopefully we'll be able to, in the long term, solve that problem. And it's a great venue for seeing live music. You mentioned the size of the theater, and I think I mentioned it earlier. It's 87 seats, so it's really intimate. It's kind of like seeing a lot of the performers who perform there for the first time. When they walk in, they go, wow, it's like performing in your living room or something like that. I mean, it has that kind of atmosphere. A nice big stage, plenty of room for the performers, and the audience is right there, and it's like they're part of the show. And we've had so many performers mention that it's a unique environment when people are really intimately listening to the music. And when you're not competing with the whirl of a coffee machine or a espresso machine or whatever it might be, or the noise of a crowd who doesn't really care about the music, these people are paying $15 sometimes for a ticket, sometimes more, and they're there listening. And performers will often remark the first time that they play, they're like, wow, you're so quiet. And then there's the ruckus applause at the end of the song. It's because people want to come and listen. They want to engage with the music. And it's almost like the performers, not the performers, the audience almost becomes part of the show. They're as much a part as the performers of making this a wonderful night of music by how they respond. And the energy that they give off kind of brings the performers to life. And it's fun to watch that. It's almost like a dance. Mm-hmm. It's kind of watching how that plays itself out and how the performance might change because of the reaction of the audience and how the performers will engage the audience. It's neat to watch.
Wow. Often small venues like that have incredible acoustics too.
Yeah, and we do too. As a matter of fact, we've had some performers this summer who remark about how well you can hear the sound in that room. I mean, it is amplified. We do have occasionally a performer who performs without amplification. Really? But for the most part, the sound, the four walls and the way it reverberates off those walls, it's pretty magical how if it's done well, if you've got performers who know how to perform to the space and you've got a really good sound person, it creates a really beautiful night of music.
So how are the seats structured, I guess, for lack of, do you use theater seating? Do you have little cocktail tables or?
Yeah, that's a good question. We do have, our seats, I will admit, are not the most comfortable. They're cushioned seats, but we've had them for years, so they start to wear a little bit. But they're metal seats with a cushion on the seat and on the back. And then, so those are spread out throughout the theater. And then we have four tables that are kind of towards the back of the room. And those are in there for most shows, unless we have a sold-out show, and then we have to take the tables out to fit in a few more chairs.
Okay.
So usually it's set for about 80 people, mm-hmm. and if we have a sold-out night, we take out the tables and fit in about six or seven more chairs.
Terrific. Wow. And again, such a nice wide variety of performers. And again, the website to check out those wonderful performers.
TrinityHouseTheater.org. And you're absolutely right. I'm looking at the September calendar, and there's such a wide assortment of music. Singer-songwriters like Greg Trooper and George Worth Moore, Annie and Rod Capps, the Yellow Room Gang. But then on the 19th of September, we'll have blues, kind of a blues rock band called the Delta Twins. And then on the 20th, it's the Motor City Troubadours, which is, I have a hard time categorizing their music because it's kind of like world music meets jazz, meets folk. I mean, it's usually a lot of instrumental music, and they're amazing performers, top musical students here in the Detroit area. Well worth seeing the Motor City Troubadours. And, of course, the California Guitar Trio, which is acoustic fingerstyle guitar.
That's how we opened the program today.
Yes. Yeah. And then Gemini, which is most people are familiar with them as a duo that performs kids' music, but this time they're breaking out their own folk music and songs that they've written along with their covers of classic folk songs. And so that'll be a lot of fun. And then we end September with Amy Spies, who's an amazing singer and songwriter with just a gorgeous voice. Judy Collins signed her to her own record label while Judy had a record label, and the label's since gone defunct, but Amy continues to make music on her own and is a very talented singer and songwriter.
Terrific. Okay. How about we hear another song?
That would be great.
In a hurry,
so I'm counting sheep and park cars.
Knows where it's going,
backyard.
It's just moving
like ghosts in the graveyard.
Down the line,
slow moving train, hushed anxiety and feeling the strain.
Doesn't need to worry
on the rails of these stops and starts,
only one direction. Ooh.
That was more great music that we could hear at Trinity House, and that's from the upcoming September 13th show, and that was Jan Christ, and she's part of the Yellow Room Gang. Tell me about that group.
Yeah, actually, Jan Christ and Jim Beiser, they're friends with each other and solo performers in their own right, and they did that as a duo. That was the second of their duo albums, which they simply called Two, T-O-O. I guess a double meaning there. Mm-hmm. But they're also part of the Yellow Room Gang, which the Yellow Room Gang, if you haven't had a chance to see them, is a collection of about eight of Southeast Michigan's finer singer-songwriters. Jan Christ, Jim Beiser are part of it. Annie Capps is in it. Mustard's Retreat, which is David Tamulevich and Michael Huff. Kitty Donahoe is a member of the Yellow Room Gang. And I'm trying to see, Matt Wetroba. And also David Barrett. And so they all make up the Yellow Room Gang. And then sometimes they'll perform at a larger venue. They'll perform as all eight of them mm-hmm. on stage at the same time. And then this one, I think we have five or six of them performing that night. So we're looking forward to having them come out and share some music. Yeah, that's right. We have David Barrett, Matt Wetroba, Jan Christ and Jim Beiser, and Kitty Donahoe performing that night as the Yellow Room Gang. And they meet together on a regular basis and encourage each other as songwriters. And that's how they kind of started meeting as a way of helping build each other up as songwriters. Hmm. And then out of that was birthed this whole Yellow Room Gang collective that goes out and performs together, records albums, and they've become a real audience favorite here in Southeast Michigan, all from getting together at one of their members' houses. I think it was David Tamulevich's house, and he had a Yellow Room that they met in, and so they became the Yellow Room Gang.
Okay.
So they're a lot of fun, all very talented on their own, all worth seeing if you get a chance to see any of them perform on their own, but when they're together, it's an extra special night.
And with that much creativity in one place, I assume that whatever happens at rehearsal doesn't necessarily happen on stage?
Yeah, I would say probably, though I have seen them where they have tried to do the show as what it might be like when they're meeting together. Mm-hmm. So they critique each other's songs. So they'll bring a new song to their group and share it, and then they'll each share insights or ideas on what could make it better or what was really good about it, and help each other kind of in that songwriting, that birthing process of a new song. And then live, they just perform from their mm-hmm. wealth of songs that they each do, and right. It's a great night of music.
Wow, sounds like it. Very, very creative place, the Trinity House Theater, as I gather. And that, again, is in Livonia on 6 Mile near I-275. And we have a website for information.
Yes, trinityhousetheater.org.
And we have a telephone number for information.
Yes, you can, and that's a good point to bring up, you can get tickets over the phone at 734-464-6302. You can also reserve them by email at tickets@trinityhousetheater.org.
Okay. Coming up on October 3rd, we're talking about creativity here, the Songwriters Anonymous Showcase.
That's an interesting group, too. It's another songwriting group, but it's a larger group than the Yellow Room Gang. I'm not sure how many members they have total, but they meet once a month at the theater, share songs. They have workshops, excuse me, just as a way of helping each other develop and encouraging each other in the craft of songwriting. Once a year, they come together and do a showcase of some of their performers as a way of giving back to the theater, because the theater provides them a venue to meet monthly. And so they turn the proceeds of that night all back over to the theater. So it's a great night of music. Some performers that perform on a regular basis, and some are relatively new, and they all join together and share music, and the other members of the Songwriters Anonymous that aren't necessarily featured artists that night will join in as musical accompaniment, and they'll support the performers that are up there as the featured artists. And it's a great way to see a lot of music, and also to support the theater and their mission, because all that money from the night goes back to the theater.
Oh, that's fantastic. Give back from musicians is always, it's just so good to see that they get it.
Yeah, you know, and musicians get asked a lot to do,
do.
Benefits, and we're fortunate that so many of these performers believe in what the theater's doing.
Mm-hmm. What about the artists that come? We've listened to some of the music, we've talked about some of the personalities, some of the duos and some of the groups and what have you. If you book an artist for the Trinity House, and what kind of parameters do they have? Are they able to just do whatever kind of creative something they like, or do you provide parameters that kind of stifle that a little bit?
You know what? Most of them come in and they're just going to share songs. So whatever their new music is makes up a large part of the night. Sometimes they'll come in with interesting ideas or unusual ideas. And then from there, I kind of have to serve as a sounding board. Okay, yeah, that's interesting, but I don't know if we're going to find a broader audience for it. But for instance, in October 4th will be one of the ideas that a local songwriter named Dan Hazlett shared with us. It's coming up on the 35th birthday of his guitar, which you don't really think of guitars as having a birthday, but it's the 35th year that he's had that guitar, and he's been writing songs with it over these years. He's going to have a sort of a celebration of his guitar, the 35th birthday of his guitar, so he's going to perform songs that he's written on that guitar or performed on CD on that guitar, and then he's also going to have a lot of his own musical friends, which he has a lot of musicians that he's helped out over the years or he's performed with, and they're going to be joining in and playing songs on his guitar.
Okay.
So it's kind of an unusual concept, but Dan's a talented singer and songwriter and guitarist, and he's going to be bringing in a lot of different people to be part of that night, so it should be a lot of fun.
Okay. I assume he has a number of guitars.
I would bet. I mean, almost every performer, it's hard not to buy multiple.
Oh, absolutely.
They pick one up and they go, I like the way this feels.
And I can do this song with this particular instrument. Right.
Yeah, I saw Jackson Brown in concert one time, and he was just performing solo, but he had like a wall of guitars behind him.
Okay.
And so almost for every song, he was picking up a different guitar.
So Dan's coming with his 35-year-owned, because who knows how old it was when he got it, and that's basically his Lucille, right?
I would say so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it'll be a fun night of music.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you have a lot of fun things going on at Trinity House.
We try to. We really want to find ways to support artists and to encourage artists and help develop artists. So we're open to a lot of different ideas. We try to get a lot of different people performing, and we keep ourselves pretty busy.
One of the things that does happen at Trinity House is the Tuesday night open mic, and that goes year-round, as I understand.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We have two supporters of the theater. One of them is one of our board members, but those two are Steve Kovich and Jack Keck, and they were kicking around the idea of doing an open mic at the theater, and earlier this year, we started doing a Tuesday night open mic on the first and third Tuesday of the month, and also the fifth, if there's a fifth Tuesday of the month. And it starts at 6 p.m., and people can arrive starting at 5:45 and sign up for a spot. And they'll perform usually as long as there's people who want to get up and share songs. And Steve Kovich is the host. He's a singer-songwriter, talented singer and songwriter himself. And so he'll host the night, and throughout the night he'll share a song or two, and then he brings up a lot of people who are there to share their own music, and it's a great night. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely, and open mics. I'm a member of a couple different folk clubs, and open mics are amazing because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're really the bread and butter of acoustic music venue, because there's a wealth of people who are just starting out as musicians, and the only way you're going to get better is if you get a chance to perform. Unfortunately, if you're new, it's a work in progress, and so the only way you're going to get to perform is to get out at open mics and get comfortable with being on a stage. Mm-hmm. But you look at a venue in Ann Arbor like the Arc, who's been there for, oh my gosh, close to 50 years, they've had amazing performers who have showed up at their open mic. I think I was reading one time that even songwriters as prominent as Mary Chapin Carpenter came up playing at their open mic. And so you think of the quality of performers that that you might end up seeing. You might see someone starting out who years down the road has become fairly accomplished as a singer and songwriter.
Yeah, and you can say, I remember when. We had a guy go up to the front one night, and he had a wooden box. He sat down on the box and started playing this thing, and it was incredibly good.
Well,
so
there's
you never
a,
know.
There's a local duo called the Pottersfield, and they met playing separately at open mic. They were at an open mic and really enjoyed each other's performance and started wondering, wow, I wonder what it'd be like if we did some songs together. And next thing you know, they become one of the more prominent singer-songwriter groups here in the Detroit area.
Yeah, well known in this area, right? Okay. How about a little more music? What are we going to hear from now?
I think we're going to end with some music from Lindsay Lou and the Flatbellies.
Okay.
And this is pretty interesting because they just released an EP, which is a four-song recording called Here Between. And one of the songs they do is a song by May Erlewine called The River Jordan, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
Take my hand, my one, and we'll shove off to the sun. Together we will run the River Jordan. With stars in our eyes, we'll sleep under the skies, safe on the banks of the River Jordan. And when you fall asleep, sleep well, sleep deep. Dreams are always sweet on the River Jordan. In the morning,
and Bill, you had mentioned that was a cover tune, so to speak, and I was just wondering if Lindsay Lou does original music also.
Yeah, most of the music they do is their own songs, but they're friends with May Erlewine and Seth Bernard, and so they decided to cover one of May's songs and did a stunning job there on that song, The River Jordan.
Yes, that was beautiful. Okay. All right, we talked a lot about the creative... and you did surprise me with that guitar birthday thing. I didn't see that one coming somehow, some way. But as a 501c, as a charity that always needs contributions and donations and what have you, do you, as an entity, do any sort of fundraising? Do we go someplace and see a Trinity House tent or something like
Major
that?
Major events, yeah, mm-hmm. We do. Our big event is in the spring. We do a Trinity House Theater benefit concert. We'll get a number of different performers, groups, artists joining together and to do a show as a fundraiser for the theater. And the last several years, we've been doing it at Trinity Church in Livonia because it provides a larger venue mm-hmm. for it than the 87 seats at the theater. And we just get a wide variety of different artists to perform at that. So it's a lot of fun, and it really does help raise money for the theater. And then we're fortunate because of Songwriters Anonymous, they do that Song Anon showcase this time coming up in October, where the proceeds from that will go back to the theater. And then in December, we do a special empty chair night, and it's okay. around a holiday Christmas theme. And Joel will get a wide assortment of performers. Usually the performers that perform at the Christmas holiday show end up being the featured artists on Empty Chair Night the next year. Oh. And so he'll get all these different artists together to share music, and all the proceeds from that night go back to the theater too. So those are our main fundraisers, and we're always looking for ideas for new ones.
Sure. Okay. So fundraising ideas, somebody wants to perform. I know a band who would be perfect for you. How do we get all that to connect?
If they go to our website, I forget the exact address that they would email. They can email us at the website, though, and make their pitch as far as who they want to have perform. Usually what we like to do is get a copy of the music ahead of time on CD so we can review it. And I'm usually the one as the concert coordinator that's making those calls. So I like to be able to listen to it on CD, though I do listen to stuff on the internet. If I'm going to listen to it for any sustained amount of time, I'm going to listen to it while I'm driving around on a CD
right.
or at home on a CD. When I'm listening on the internet, I'm just listening for a little bit, getting a feel for it. So I don't really give it enough time when I'm listening at a computer. So it's the best to send us a CD and let us get a feel for what you're like as a performer, and then we'll see if there's a spot to fit you in.
So there might be a theme, or there might be a certain musical genre, there might be whatever it is that I want to pitch, I'm welcome to do that.
Sure, yep. Okay. And the email address is bookings@trinityhousetheater.org.
Okay, very good. And again, Trinity House is at 38840 West 6 Mile Road, and you said that is just west of I-275?
Yeah, we're okay. Northwest corner. And we're right between a restaurant and a children's daycare center. And then it's just a tiny white little building, almost looks like a little church. And it's easy to miss. You'll see the graveyard around it, though. That's the theater. And we'd love to have you come on out and check out a show. It's a great place to see live music and to really spend some time listening to music, mm-hmm. which is a lot of fun. And getting a chance to interact with the artists, because all the artists usually come out after the show and hang out in the lobby. So you get a chance to meet the singer that you just spent an hour and a half or two okay. hours listening to, and having a chance to interact with them a little bit, ask questions about their music. And it's just a great night.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Okay, and if I wanted to speak to a human, who do I call?
You can call us at the theater at 734-464-6302. Most of the time you're going to leave a message, because like any nonprofit that runs on a shoestring, we have an office manager who comes in for a few hours a week, but most of the staff are volunteers that all have day jobs, and so we wouldn't be able to survive if we had to pay a full-time staff to be there during the week.
Right, right. But with the lineup that is out there on your web right now, we can see that from now through the end of November, there is a phenomenal number of performers. We have a phenomenal number of types of music, and just all kinds of great entertainment, I think is the best way to put it, right?
And one thing, too, that you can always look at, too, is we're always open to renting out the theater. If you have an idea to perform there, you might want to rent it out and do your own show. That is an option. our office manager would be willing to talk to you about it. There are some requirements because of the insurance that the theater has. Mm-hmm. You have to have your own insurance in order to use the building, and there's a fee. And if you're going to use our sound system, you need to hire one of our sound people. And so that is always an option, too. If you want to put on your own performance, you can work with our office manager to see if that would be possible. And then we're always looking for volunteers, too. And so, as you can imagine, any shoestring nonprofit organization that runs on a tight budget relies on a lot of volunteers, and our volunteers do everything from running sound and lights to helping sell refreshments or selling tickets. Mm-hmm. And you can get in as a volunteer in any of those capacities. Some of them take a little more training than others, like sound and lights, but we're willing to train people. And so come on out to a show, introduce yourself, and we'll be glad to add you to our list of volunteers.
Okay. Sounds like a great opportunity for all kinds of really, really wonderful things. And the last question I think I have is related to groups. I realize this is a small house, 87 people. If someone had a family situation or a birthday party or something like that, would you welcome a group of about 20 or so to come into Trinity House?
We would love to. I mean, there's many nights where we only have 20 people at the theater or 30 people to see a show. So if another 20 people wanted to come out as a group, that would be an option. We don't have a set group price, but generally if you're talking a group of 10, 15, 20 people, we could make it at our members' price. There's some options that we can do to make it a little bit more cost effective for a large group.
Okay.
And so you could call and talk to our office manager or leave a message at the theater and we'll work with you. Usually with large groups, if there's going to be a large reservation, we like to get payment in advance to hold that many tickets.
Sure.
But generally, for most performances, if you're calling for your own, like if you're just coming with you or a couple people, you can just reserve seats and then pay the night of the show.
Okay. All right. Bill, thank you so much for coming here and talking to us about Trinity House Theater.
It's been my pleasure. Thank
my
you
gosh.
Very much.
A little tiny theater, and there's so much information. There's so much to know about. So thank you so much. Our thanks to Mark Hall for producing this show. And again, this is Impact. Impact is the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. This is a pre-recorded show. I'm your host, Lynn. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Allison Brown, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, broadcasting the best music since 1985.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the functified starship. Functified starship.